We're going to be talking about a very, very important topic this morning. It is a debate between two people that when they were younger were chavrusas. It's a debate which took place more, I would say, not really through their writings directly. It's not that Reb Chaim ever wrote towards the Rogachev or the Rogachev ever wrote towards Reb Chaim, at least to my knowledge. But we're going to talk in a very clear and very focused way on differences in the way in which they related to the study of Torah. We spend a lot of time trying to learn, and I think over time we're probably increasingly sensitive to the fact that different gedolim learned Torah in very, very different ways. This is a topic which intrigues me a lot. It intrigues me a lot because elements of it aren't spoken about enough, and the parts that are spoken about more, I think, are sometimes spoken about not always with a degree of precision. I can't say that we're going to bring that same precision, but hopefully we'll at least be able to be magdir things in a particular way. I want to try to speak about four differences between Reb Chaim and the Rogachever in the way in which they learned Torah, in the way in which they related, when they would sit down with the Sefer in front of them, what their goals actually were, or when a new question would emerge. They shared a lot in common. They also shared some very fundamental differences. They shared a lot in common. They're living at the same time. They share in common an understanding that the primary Mekoros are Shas, Bavli, in a certain sense, and amongst the Rishonim, the Rambam is worthy of major, major emphasis, a whole lot of study. There are those who claim, Derech Agav, this person who wrote his master's thesis on the Rogachever's impact on the Lubavitcher Rebbe's, on the Rogachever's philosophical lumdus, his impact on the Lubavitcher Rebbe. We'll see what that means in a little bit. And he points out that Yitachin, that even though, he quotes some of those that suggest, even though Yitachin, the Rogachever, and the Reb Chaim emphasize Rambam, they may have done so for different reasons. Reb Chaim may have done so coming from a certain kind of halachic framework. The Rogachever may have done so more from a certain value that certain Hasidim had as far as the role of Rambam in that thought. But they both very much valued Rambam. And both of them, their most famous works are on Rambam. That is, again, the Rogachever and Reb Chaim share that in common. They share something else in common also, which is that they are conceptual thinkers. They are conceptual thinkers. They think in terms of they use certain terms, they use certain ideas, they think not only about what do I do halakha l'maisa, but they think about how we categorize things. This is a din in X or a din in Y. That the mitzvah is about a maisa or a totza'a. It's a din, and we'll use terms like gavra and chefza, although, as some point out at least, Reb Chaim maybe didn't use that at least in Sefer as often as some would believe. But they use categories also. They also, while primarily working in the world of lamdas, they certainly had it that mattered in the world of halacha. There are definitely chumras or kulas associated with Reb Chaim based on his lamdas. Discussions about Reb Chaim's Havana in Rambam Shita, Psik Reish Lo Nichle, Rambam holds like the Aruch, Vichule, has certain halacha l'maisa implications for, at least some, on some level, the world of Reb Chaim. The Rogachever, in his own way, has some original halachic insights also that we spoke about a little bit last week and a little bit on this past Monday night. But they also differed in some very significant ways. And we, to the best of our ability, are going to note, I hope, 3, 4, 5 distinctions in the way that they learned and what they did. In a certain sense also, it should be clear from the start, Reb Chaim, in many ways, has a greater impact than does Rogachever. Reb Chaim, as far as the quote-unquote Olam HaTorah, so Reb Chaim, it's hard to envision a walking into at least the vast majority of yeshivas nowadays, and Reb Chaim be a name that never gets quoted, or Reb Chaim Sfarim not to be found. When my son Chaim was bar mitzvah, so he got a Reb Chaim as a bar mitzvah gift, it would have been surprising and noteworthy had he got a Rogachever. It would have been like a little bit of like a, whoa, that's like, a, you know? There would be a story behind that. Didn't have to be a story behind him getting a Reb Chaim for his, that was someone who was, you know, to protect your safer. You assume that that's something which he's going to need, but as Hashem, he will. There is but let's talk about the following. Distinction number one relates to the world of Rishonim. We quoted last week, and we'll elaborate on a little bit, that for all of the esteem in which the rugged shover held Shitas HaRambam, the rugged shover was very, very comfortable. Very comfortable, at least as it's quoted in some of the Maisas, dismissing the words of different Rishonim, to argue that there was a degree of independence, certainly Klapei Achronim. We quoted the Maisa last week, the Tzvi De'esh. You take the Ramban, the Chasam Sofer, I'll take the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. That there was a particular kind of orientation in Rugachover, where he was very, very comfortable at times arguing. They say when someone asked a kasha once, again, a version of this Maisa, on Tosvos to the Rugachover said, correct, that is one of thee. And he listed over 100 cases where he thought Tosvos may have made a mistake in their pshat in the Gemara, and he then listed them to the person that was there. The Rugachover as a wildly kind of independent thinker in that sense. And that's something which you feel in his Sfarim. That's why the rugged shover is often very innovative. He's very mechudash, because he's not really working off of Rishon in the same way. He often will have a different read of a Gemara, or be dismissive. We quoted a line last week that the rugged shover at the end of his life, when he was sick, said the charata of, you know, maybe the reason why I'm sick right now is because I was so into Rambam, and where's the Ri, and where's Tosfos? The rugged shover saying, but you know what? It was all worth it. It was all worth it, even though I'm sick right now, because the Rambam's the Rambam. Reb Chaim shared the love of Rambam, but Reb Chaim in Derech HaLimud had a very different shita. Rav Elchanan wrote, this is quoted in a variety of places, Rav Elchanan wrote in the introduction too, let me just bring it up right now, while I still have something on my computer. Reb Chaim wrote in the introduction to the Kovetz Ohel Torah, when he was coming out with this, Reb Chaim wrote as follows. It's a tough race, pay Dalit. Reb Simcha Wasserman in Zagdama to Kovetz Yerba quote this also. There are Lachanan said in Rechayim that our job is man hazeh, is not the mechalitz chidushim at all. Our job is not the mechalitz chidushim. Our job is very, very simple. Our job is to understand what the Rishonim said. Our job is to understand what the Rishonim said. That means that there is a hisbatlus to Rishonim in the world of Rechayim. I want to understand what the Rishonim said. No more, no more, and no less. So as an example, in a maisa that I like a lot, Rav Menachem Zemba, who was a possibility for this lot, Rav Menachem Zemba once went to a shir of Rav Baruch Ber, the Birka Shmuel. Birka Shmuel is one of the great Talmidim of Rav Chaim. And Rav Menachem Zemba comes to the shir of Rav Baruch Ber, and Rav Baruch Ber, the whole shir, is trying to say pshat in a rashba. He's trying to tell you what I think Shitas HaRashba really is. Rav Menachem Zemba, one of the great Gedolim of Europe, comes over after the shir to Rav Baruch Ber, and he says to him, okay, I now hear what the Rashba holds, but I want to know, what do you think? Like, what's your take in the sugya? All you did was explain what the Rashba says. And Rav Baruch Ber responded, that is what I want to do. All I want to do is tell you what I think the Rashba held. In that sense, there's a critique sometimes of certain shiurim, I think probably the majority of shiurim that we'll be in, that there's less of a limit of Gemara, there's more a limit of Rishonim and how they learn Gemara. So whether that's Rashi and Tosfos, Nashir's and on the Daf Shir, it doesn't mean you're only looking at the Gemara with your own Mahalthim. It's Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos, or it's more Rishonim. But this comes from Rav Elchanan, this idea that we're trying to prioritize in many ways the words of Rishonim. And what the Rishonim say, that's what I'm going to do. So Mahalach number one, a distinction between them relates to the way in which they relate to Rishonim. Both of them don't have this like unbelievable hisbatlus to the world of Achronim in their Sfarim. You look at Reb Chaim, he's not quoting tons and tons of Achronim. But as far as Rishonim, a little bit of a different view. I believe I once heard in the name of Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, which I think is part of it. I believe, I don't want to say who I heard it from because I'm not precise. But I think Moshe Soloveitchik once said when they asked him, is Elu ve'elu? So the Gemara tells us that these and those are the words of the living God. So they once asked Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, what does that apply to? Like, can we assume, like, Elu ve'elu? We asked Eirvin, Beshameh ve'shilel, that's a manifestation of Elu ve'elu. They're both reflective of Dibur Elokim Chayim, but when historically does that go to? So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, I believe, if I remember correctly, once said, is it that anything in the Rishonim is begeder Elu ve'elu? Once it gets the Achronim, it could be yes, could be no. Meaning, I'm assuming close to the Sivos, they could both be Elu ve'elu. When you're dealing with Achronim, it's possible that one of the Achronim was Pashut wrong. He forgot a Gemara, he was just incorrect. When it comes to Rishonim, that's for sure begeder Elu ve'elu on some level, which is, again, a certain kind of orientation of Moshe reflecting Reb Chaim there. Rishonim are, that is what they That's what they do. These two different Darkei Halima lead us to distinction number two between Reb Chaim and the Ragachover in the way that their limud impacts the world of Halacha Lemaisa. How does it do so? Think about it in the following terms. You know what, Sean, can you pass me right behind you? It's Chubas van Hagos. Pass me Chelek Dalad. Hands straight ahead. Left. Chelek Dalad. That both Reb Chaim and the Ragachover, if we're familiar with this a little bit, there's like, what you would call probably like mainstream halacha, what the majority of the firm world does. That's one thing there. And you have sometimes people who have very innovative and very unique kinds of shittos. Or very unique shittos that come, at most very chashuv poskim have their, have a unique shitta here or there, but you have some who have like very unique kinds of shittos. There is, as an example, the Ragachover and Reb Chaim, each in their own way, have particular kinds of chumras. However, the nature of those chumras and where those chumras come from are very different in the world of Brisk than they are in the world of the Ragachover. The chumras are very different. In general, we spoke about this years ago in the context of the Chazon Ish, that the fact that someone is machmir, I could be machmir for very, very different reasons. You can be machmir for internal halachic reasons. The Chazon Ish would be machmir because he held, this is the shear of a kezias. So it's not a chumrah, I'm actually like, this is, he would learn a circuit, this is what the halacha really is, this is the shear of a kezias. The Chazon Sofer, we know, may have at times been machmir because he was fighting reform. And as part of the fight of reform, Chazon Sofer may have thought at times that it's important to be more machmir, as part of fighting reform. There were Bali Musar that thought that it was good to be machmir for broader Avodas Hashem type issues. Derech Agav, I hold that Rav Yamer is in that category. If you ask Rav Yamer halachic shaylos, he's often a little bit machmir. And I think him out all the time, the reason why he's machmir is not because of, or often, it's not because of internal, I think I'm right about this, I mean, you'll forget that. It's not internal halachic, I want to be choshed for this shita or that shita, but often has to do with the way that this will impact your broader Avodas Hashem. And if he thinks that the Chumrah would be better for your general Avodas Hashem, so sometimes, you know, he'll have a certain netia towards Chumrah, not internal sugya Chazon Ish, or he's fighting reform when he talks to you, but rather it has to do with a particular Avodas Hashem. Sometimes he thinks this is a Chumrah which would be good for you. Something along those lines is often, I think, the way that he handles things. The Ragachover and Reb Chaim, each in their own way, could have particular chumras. Could be cool to also have particular chumras. However, the nature of those chumras are going to be very, very different. The Ragachover's chumras, as an example, are going to sometimes be wildly mechudash. A new shita that no one ever heard of. A new mahalach that no one was ever familiar with. The Ragachover's going to have his own chumra. We spoke about one on Monday night. That if a couple gets married without kesef shtar and bia, without kiddush at all, it's not a civil marriage. So the Ragachover, as we referenced, was mechadesh, a new kind of ishus. An ishus like a B'nai Noach kind of ishus for two Jews that live together and are together. And therefore they require a kind of get and a new get, and therefore if a couple is civilly married and then they get divorced civilly and there's no get, could be it's usher for the woman to remarry. We don't paskin that way. But the Ragachover has this like new mahalich that no one else has, and that's why Rasher Weiss recorded that in Michas Asher and Shuvah Zechila Gimel Simin Tzadi. Rasher Weiss writes there in that context, like, this is classic Ragachover. Kinesher Bashamayim. He's like an eagle in heaven doing his own thing. But the Ragachover will sometimes have chumras that are just very, very unique, or psukim that are very unique. Like we quoted also last week about Tfilas Haderech. That what's tefillas haderech? Do I say tefillas haderech when I go on an airplane? So we paskin, yes, pashtus. You say tefillas haderech when you go on an airplane, at least more or less majority of poskim. The Ragachover of Zevin quote said, you know why you don't say tefillas haderech on an airplane? Because the Gemara in the context, in Kul, in the context, Shulch HaKein said that derech is not b'shamayim. And therefore you can't say tefillas haderech if you're going to shamayim. It's a very unique shita. The Ragachover's halachic shitas come with a lot of originality. With, it could be something which no one else ever said, as a degree of chumrah he had, which is Himmel Shitaso in the way in which he learned. Because Himmel Shitaso was less bound by other people, so he wasn't looking at Achronim as much, it wasn't there the same way, Machlok Sim amongst like the people that say Mice, but the Ragachover Was he holding an achronim and just didn't quote them at all because they were all wrong? Was not even holding an achronim? You know, those are all part of the discussion. For Reb Chaim, though, Reb Chaim's going to be a little bit different. Reb Chaim's chumras are all going to be based on Shitos HaRishonim, and because Reb Chaim was so much mevatel himself to Divrei HaRishonim, you're going to have particular situations where Reb Chaim is going to have chumras, latzeis yedei kol hashitos. That in order to make sure that you're really mekayim the mitzvah well, so there's a shita and rishonim that I can be choshesh for, or I have a particular kind of a read of a particular shita. So generally speaking, Reb Chaim is going to be a little bit more machmir to be yotzei according to all of those shita. So as an example, and something for Reb Chaim also, it won't be a standard kind of a shita. For Reb Chaim sometimes, it's not going to be what's often done. I'll give you one kind of a chumrah, which is as follows. Let's say you're in a place with no Erev, or an Erev that you are not so mechan, in the case, let's say, of Reb Chaim. So Reb Chaim would understand when he would go out on Shabbos, when he would leave his house on Shabbos, Keyadua, a very famous brisker chumrah, Reb Chaim would go out and not wear talis katan. He wouldn't go out wearing tzitzis. Why wouldn't he go out wearing tzitzis? The relationship between tchelis and lavan. Tchelis and lavan are not ma'akvin zeh. That's how we paskin, unlike I believe the Baal Ma'or. That's how we paskin that lavan and tchelis are not ma'akvin zeh. That's why those of us that don't wear tchelis, we wear tchelis misafek, we still wear tzitzis. We still wear white because we assume that they're not ma'akiv each other. However, if you look in Shitas HaRambam, in Perek Yates of Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam writes as follows. Talis ha-mitsuyetes kihilchasa, a talis which has tzitzis properly on it. Mutter latzeis ba b'yom b'layla. You can go out on Shabbos. You can go out on Shabbos with it, and that's what it is. If you look, the Reb Chaim pointed out that it sounds like Reb Chaim she'ain ha tzitzis ha gemura. Reb Chaim said masoi that if you're wearing tzitzis gemura, then you can go out with them on Shabbos. Reb Chaim was medayik for Shitas HaRambam. That again, the kashash is that the strings are extraneous, and it's like hotzah on Shabbos to go out with them. Reb Chaim of Medayik and Rambam is the only time wearing tzitzis is not considered to be a problem on Shabbos is if it's tzitzis gemura. What's called tzitzis gemura? Tzitzis with tcheles. Me'achar that, we don't wear tcheles nowadays, and we would say even the many of us that do wear tcheles, it's more misafik or anything else like that. Reb Chaim, who didn't wear tcheles, so Reb Chaim understood that because that is the case, he wouldn't go outside. He was choshesh that being iser hotzah on Shabbos to be choshesh for that diuk in Shitas HaRambam. That's how Rav Sternbach quotes it in Chelak Dalet on page 423 in Shumit Van Hagos. He has a chumah about this in Chelak Aleph and Simin Chaf. Also, that is part of the discussion. Sometimes Reb Chaim also did. It's not that he was always choshesh for all Rishonim. As an example, Reb Chaim did not wear, following the Gra, Reb Chaim did not wear Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. He did not wear Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. But again, in general, there are a lot of shitas that Reb Chaim was choshesh for because he wanted to be choshesh, especially for Rambam, but for a variety of shitos that he wanted to make sure that he was going to be good for. That's very different than what you find in Ragat Shavar, which is entirely original. So far, we have two major chilukim, which take place. Now we're going to speak about a third one, which is very fascinating and intriguing. And let me try and share it in the following way. Okay. Rav Kasher, Menachem Mendel Kasher, who was a giant, put out the Sitz Farm Torah Shleima and did a lot of work on the Ragat Shavar. The Ragat Shavar's farm are so hard to understand, one of the reasons why they're not as popular. So the Ragat Shavar wrote a lot of Sfarim, put out a lot of the Ragat Shavar's farm. He put a sefer called Mefaneach Tzfunos. Paneach Tzfunos is Rav Kasher, and gives you lots and lots of examples of things relating to the Derech HaLimud of the Ragat Shavar. So did... That's what Rav Kasher did. He points out, and this is intriguing, there is a major chiluk, there's a certain similarity between Rav Chaim and the Ragat Shavar, but a major chiluk in the way that they learn. Let's start like this. Both Rav Chaim and the Ragat Shavar thought in terms of concepts and categories. There are some achronim that just, they quote the Gemara, they'll quote a machlokas harishonim, they'll say what pshat is, there's a machlokas, because he holds like this person, he holds like that person, and we're just listening and using the words that the Rashba uses, and that's all that we're doing. Both Reb Chaim and the Ragachover introduced, or in often invoked, new kinds of formulations that it wasn't clear like Rishonim and Achronim were using the same way. So as an example, Reb Chaim would sometimes use the terms, or it's associated with Reb Chaim, the terms Cheftza and Gavra. Cheftza and Gavra. Reb Zevin points out in Ishim Veshitos that even though the Gemara in Nedarim and Daf Beis and Beis also uses the term Cheftza and Gavra, they mean different things. Typically, it's not getting into what that really means in the Dharma and Daf Dal and Daf Beis and a very important Aben Ezer. Typically, what the Hagdara of Gavra and Gavra is a person. Cheftza is an object. Is an object. So when the Gemara says that Nidarim are an Iser Cheftza, Shvuos are an Iser Gavra, it means that in Shvuos, the Cheftza is fine. The Iser is for you to use an item in a particular way. And in Nidarim, something happens to the item itself. Reb Chaim uses terms like Gavra and Cheftza, but he uses the term of Cheftza even when you're talking about something which is not actually an object. It doesn't exist. So as an example, Reb Chaim will speak about the Cheftza of Tefillah, the Cheftza of a Tefillah's Nedava as opposed to a Tefillah's Chova. What does he mean there? What Reb Chaim means there is that the entity which is called a tefillah of chova is not the same thing, as an example, as the entity which is called a tefillah of nedava, a tefillah of rishus. That they're fundamentally different. Reb Chaim is using certain terms, in order to help categorize and explain certain shitas. That derech agav is one of the reasons why Reb Chaim a little bit was critiqued. There were achronim that claimed they referred to Reb Chaim. He was a chemist. Like, it was all smoke and mirrors. Like, it was like smoke, like you have a kasha. You introduce two terms you haven't defined and no one knows what they mean. Suddenly the kasha goes away and there's two dinim and you're entirely good to go. That was part of the critique, which is found in certain Chronicles years ago in Derech Halima, but the Chaz Nishan Reb Chaim, there was some critique in that sense. Okay, fine. That's there. I don't think I drank yet. Is that possible? Okay. There is a... That's Reb Chaim. That Derech Agav is why it takes a little bit of time to get used to Reb Chaim. To get used to Reb Chaim because he's using terms that maybe I'm not as used to. But once you get into it, terms like Cheftza Gavra, that's something which we could use, you know, a little bit. Which we could use, but they're terms which he's sort of introducing and using to help him categorize particular dinim. A new kind of a language, a new kind of, a real Brisker, you know, when the formulations are uniquely Brisker formulations. When Reb Chaim is quoted by the Brisker Rav about the nature of Birchas HaTorah, Shulchan Aruch Paskins that women say Birchas HaTorah, despite the fact that in general Shulchan Aruch Paskins that women don't say a bracha, Birchas HaMitzvah, on a mitzvah saseh, shahazman grama, that they're pater from. So Reb Chaim says, why do we say Birchas HaTorah? Because the Cheftza shel Torah tu'una bracha. It's these formulations which sometimes a little bit hard to explain. You have to get used to the language. It's learning a language of the way that a Brisker talks and the way that Reb Chaim talks. It's part of the transition to learning in a particular style. Okay. The Ragachover also introduces language, but he does so in a fascinating way. The Ragachover has a lot of his own terms. So Reb Chaim. But unlike Reb Chaim's terms, Reb Chaim had a lot of Talmidim and Gishir and Balash, and people learned by him, so the terms have become very well known, so a lot of the terms people are familiar with. The Ragachover used his own terms, but his terms, and here's a very odd phenomenon, and this is important for the next couple of points, the Ragachover lifted terms from Rambam Morin. The Ragachover, a lot of his terms, and the formulations that he used, were terms he was using in Lamdas, but they were abstract categories that he was lifting from philosophical work Mor Nevuchim. For some Pivin Taina, some of the Svarim put out nowadays on the Derech and the Ragachover hold, it's almost Kiyu the Ragachover held Mor Nevuchim was like a Sefer Halacha. Like, it's almost as if he relates to it in his Sfarim. He quotes Maimar Chazal and Rambam and Mordevuchim in his Tshuvah. Either it's like passing that way. But he'll use terms like Chomer and Surah. He'll talk about different kinds of blending things together. So as an example, I'll tell you an idea which you have. It's already in Rishonim, but the way they say it is very intriguing. Bein Hashmashos. The Gemara tells us in Mesechah Shabbos, Bein Hashmashos is Safek Yom, Safek Laila. In between the time period called Shkia and Tzeis HaKochavim, that's a time period called Safek Yom, Safek Laila. We're not sure what it is. There's a Ritva in Mesechas Yuma. It's a Ritva in Mesechas Yuma, where the Ritva has a Chiddush in the way that he defines it. The Ritva says that it's not that Bein Hashmashos is that we're not sure is it morning or night, but it is a combination of both. A combination of both. It's a time that is both day and night. It's a mixture of both of them. Certain briskers like that sheet a lot. And what they'll say is it's not a suffix bimitzias, it's a din suffix. It's a din suffix. It's a din that we treat, it has elements of both. You find the same phenomenon, and this the Rugachever believes also, we'll get to, when it comes to an androgynous. An androgynous, so it's Mesechus Yuma and the Mesechus Bikurim, is an androgynous more of a Zachar or a Nekeva. It's possible that the androgynous is like a din suffix. He's a Zachar and a Nekeva. In certain things more Zachar and certain things are Nekeva, but it's a Metzias where both are mixed together. That's Bein Hashmashos for many. It's both are there the same way. How does the Rugachever refer to this category? The Rugachever refers to this category as, let me see if I can get the phrase right now. One second. A harchava mizgit. A harchava mizgit. That's a term that comes from Mor Nevuchim. He used that term to refer to a certain kind of integration, a certain kind of a very strong and natural integration. Harchava mizgit. Sounds like he, like, you know, it's safer to be called on top. That for the Rugachever, the same ideas are going to be used in, but the terms are very, very different. He speaks a lot about cause and effect. A lot, and the Rav uses the same term for a lot about cause and effect, but he used the terms Ila and Alul. Ayin Yud Lamed Hey, Ayin Lamed Vav Lamed, which is? Simen and Siba. Or cause and effect. And things like, it's the same terms, it's the same ideas sometimes, but the terms and the categories, so one of the reasons why the Rugachever is so difficult is because he didn't tell us what Makoros says, he says Ayin this, Ayin this, Ayin this. He uses the categories he uses. Sometimes we know what they are, but we call them a different name. And sometimes, we'll see in a little bit, they're even a little bit more, you know, abstract than we may have been familiar with. So it can be the same kind of an idea, but the formulations are a little bit different. This relates to something else also. The fact that Reb Chaim didn't use terms from the world of philosophy is part of something else in the world of Brisk. Kayadua, a major part of the Derech HaLimud of Reb Chaim. This is quoted, Reb Chaim didn't speak about Derech HaLimud, didn't write about Derech HaLimud, but from Talmidei Reb Chaim, Salvatric and Halachic Memory, spent this a lot, comes from Panaviz Arav, interactions with Reb Chaim and Talmidei Reb Chaim. The Reb Chaim would often say, we never ask why, we only ask what. What does the Torah say, not why does it say it. That for Reb Chaim, We can't understand the motivation or the rationale behind. Our job is to be magdir that which is. So this din is a din in X. Why did the Torah decide to be a din in X? I don't know. It's a din in X. It's a din in X. And that's where Reb Chaim would leave it sometimes. It's a gezeiros hakasav, it's this. The birchas haTorah, the dechetah shel Torah is to nebracha. Why? That's the din. The din d'oraisa. Why? Because that's what the evidence indicates. The need to explain why wasn't there for Reb Chaim. And in general, for Reb Chaim, this again, Rhodes, I've written a lot about, all of halacha has its own internal logic. So when you're learning in Brisk, it's Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, Rambam, v'chulei. I'm not bringing in ideas from philosophy. I'm not bringing in categories from Machshava. I just want to understand as well as possible. I want to dig deep, being magdir, certain dinim. What is Kesef Kiddushin? What is the nature of that kinyan? Not talking about why it would be a kinyan iser. I'm proving that it is a kinyan iser and not a kinyan mamon. That's what it really is. For Chaim, it's very much focused in the world of halacha. For the rugged shaver v'talmidav, it's actually very different than that. For the rugged shaver and his talmidim, it's about also the philosophy bringing in from Moreh Nevuchim wasn't just a way of bringing in certain categories, but it was much more philosophical style of learning. And therefore, the rugged shaver is going to ask questions also about why and the implications in intriguing ways. So I'll give you one example. He quotes this in his master thesis, I think, if I remember. It was late last night. But Zevin has the Maisa. We quoted the Maisa of a certain Gadol Echad that had a Torah where he said over that the Maisa Kiddushin, every moment is a new Kiddushin. Every moment is a new Kiddushin. That relates to some rugged shaver philosophical ideas about the nature of time. Is time one Metzias or is a lot of individual moments? Is Shabbos one integrated Metzias called Shabbos, or we have a lot of individual moments? It's a question of philosophy. Rugged Shaver is the Gadol Echad that held that Kiddushin is every minute a new Kiddushin. So Reb Chaim's response when he heard that Maisa was, Mazel Tov, he's got married. You know, like every minute, every day is Mother's Day, every moment is a new Kiddushin. In the world of the Rugged Shaver, and Talmidei Rugged Shaver in Chabad Chassidus will do this sometimes, they want to understand, now why would that be? Why would there be a need for a new kind of a Kiddushin every moment? And when Rav Ginsburg, Yitzchak Ginsburg is speaking at Shabbat Brachas, so we'll speak about the implications of that and the freshness of marriage all the time, but the Babich Rebbe is speaking about why does it have to be the case? Why did it have to be that there's a new Kiddushin every single time? What is it about man and woman that was Mechayev that to be the case? There's a lot more of the why and a lot more philosophical. And the merging of those things are going to be different. So as an example, Lag BaOmer is upon us next week. I think it's the Rugged Shaver, who most famously, I think initially, had the Mahalach of Reb Shimon Shita all over Shas, is looking for the depth of what's really going on. So Davar Sheini Miskavin is mutter because if you don't have Kavana, Reb Shimon held, it's all about digging deeper. If you don't have Kavana, so on Shabbat, it's for sure mutter. And Reb Shimon says, on Shimon Hadin, Gemara in Sanhedrin Dafayin Dalet. You can punish based on Svara. Because Reb Shimon held that you can dig so deep, you'll be able to pass it out. There are many, many Gemaras that go along those lines. But it's a merging of like the way Reb Shimon's orientation, the way Reb Chaim wouldn't have that kind of idea. Davar Sheini Miskavin to second Davar Sheini Miskavin. And that's the way that's going to be. And it's being magdir from Hilchos Shabbat perspective. And what's going on in the role of Kavana in Maisim, etc. So as the following example even, if you're a Brisker Achron and you time it at the Ptur Ones, what is Ones? Not that it's not a Maisa Avera, or that it's a Maisa Avera with no Ones, maybe it's like a Maisa with no Tzirif to you, a disembodied action, quote unquote. You're not going to talk about why that would be the same way. You'll talk about being Magdir, that it is that way, and the implications of that, v'chulei, in the world of Halacha. That is certainly going to be a big piece of it for Reb Chaim. So we spoke thus far. I want to dig a little bit deeper as far as the point of similarity. But we saw thus far as follows. Relationship to Rishonim. For Reb Chaim, the whole point of learning Gemara is to see how do Rishonim learn the Gemara. We can't on our own. And maybe, by the way, for Reb Chaim, you may have to read the Gemara in an innovative way to explain why a Rishon said what he said, but it's all about the Rishon. For the Rugged Shaver, very Mechudash. The world of Psak Halacha for the Rugged Shaver could be very, very original on his own, even not like Rishonim. According to Reb Chaim, it's all based on Rishonim, and sometimes I'm even going to be Machmir to be Choshesh for lots of Jews to Rishonim, especially Jews to Rambam at times. We spoke about how they all use new categories, but different kinds of categories in the way that they talk. Chefza, Gat, or, you know, Allah Ila and Harchava Mizgit, or Harchava, whatever the other thing is. I'm sorry, I'm not my area. And it impacts, again, the world of philosophy, etc. Which, by the way, means something intriguing also. The Rambam plays a major role for lots and lots of the firm world and many Gedolei Torah. But, as some have pointed out, not everyone relates to Rambam at all as the same way. If you are Taimani, you may relate to Rambam as the ultimate posek. He is the one that you paskin like. What the Rambam says you do is what you do. If you are Brisker, you look at what in Rambam? You look at Mishneh Torah, Rambam as a posek, but really Rambam as a lamdin and commentary on Gemara. I want to understand how did the Rambam learn these sugyas? Ad kedei kach, in a fascinating way, it's not clear that if a brisker is saying pshat in a Rambam in Mishneh Torah, that they care that much about what the Rambam says in Tshuvas, and certainly don't care that much about what he says in Mor Nevuchim. Because Rambam the philosopher is to the side. Rambam the halachist in Mishneh Torah is the one that matters most. Ad kedei kach, that some quote from Talmidei HaGriz, that it comes in Masorah and Salvechik, that Mishneh Torah is written by Ruach HaKodesh, and therefore you could say a pshat in Lamdus in Mishneh Torah, and even if the Rambam himself his pshat differently, doesn't matter. Mishneh Torah stands on its own. It's all about Mishneh Torah. That's the Rambam, that's the Chaim's Rambam. So Perush HaMishnah also plays a role, but it's Mishneh Torah which is paramount. The Rugachover's Rambam is a much more integrated Rambam. Rambam of Mor Nevuchim and Rambam of Mishneh Torah, written by the same person. And Mor Nevuchim wasn't just written for people who are like confused and messed up and put it to the side, but that becomes part of it. Derech Agav, it's fascinating. Because amongst, in Torah Chassidus, of Kasher's long footnote about this, you have two wildly different views on Shitas HaRambam and Mor Nevuchim. In Chabad Chassidus, there's a little bit more of an openness, by certain Chassidim, there's a little bit more of an openness to Mor Nevuchim. Kayadu, Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, was beyond, we'll say the word hesitant, about philosophical writings of Rishonim. Mor Nevuchim was not on his to-read list. And he was very, very hesitant about those kind of things. But for the Rugachover, it becomes part of it. That's part of what it is. There's something there which is very, very chashev and very, very critical. In that sense, it's the same Torah, and it's very similar with certain differences. I want to mention one more similarity. I want to wrap up because it's a little later than usual. Just one point. They both hold of two dinim, that the same din, there can be multiple components. The Rugachover, Dafka, whereas Reb Chaim is known for tzvei dinim, for two dinim. The Rugachover is known for three dinim. The Rugachover is known for three dinim. Rav Kasher, Rav Eich Tzvunos, had a long discussion about the three dinim phenomenon. We spoke in the Brichas Avram, passed away a little bit, about the Brichas Avram's Eitzas and Derech Halima. How do you know if something really is two dinim or is not considered to be two dinim? But for Reb Chaim, whereas like there's two dinim in Kavana and Tefila, the Rugachover often has three dinim. Mitzvah Mila, maybe there's three dinim in Mitzvah of Mila. This harkens back a little bit to our, but they're both thinking in terms of the same idea, can have multiple functions. Halakas HaMenorah can have three goals. A Maisa Menorah, the candle being lit, and Menorah as an Avoda. Mila can have multiple things. Reb Chaim has two, three. There's a similarity that the same concept can be defined in different kinds of ways. So Reb Chaim and the Rugachover share a whole lot in common, but there are differences in Darchei HaLimud which impact how they learn, what they learn, how they paskin, and how philosophical they bring the world of Torah into it. Again, at least a little bit of insight in terms of the unique figure that is the Rugachover and how we compare it to Reb Chaim. I find this stuff fascinating. Have a great Shabbos. Have a great Shabbos. Who's in? Sorry, let's just grab a. Oh, no, I think my computer. Let me see one thing.